We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
After that conversation, Rex Ryan had glowing things to say about the New York Jets head coach that he was totally shocked by. So whatever that is, that's how you bury the hatchet and move along.
I want you, as an expert, to walk me through this. So apparently Rex Ryan called up Robert Saleh.
He said, you know where to find me, so we found him.
So Rex calls him up, and after this phone conversation, he now loves Robert Saleh.
Yep.
He went on ESPN, I so believe in the future, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
What happened in that conversation?
Robert Saleh said, just give me a couple months, you'll be my defensive coordinator.
Was that it?
That's how I see
it. Because, like, okay, yeah. I'm Rex Ryan, and I call you up. Hey, Robert, Rex Ryan here. Just wanted to clear the air about the comments. I do wish you all the best. Now, what was your response to me as Rex that made me go head over heels, let me bend the knee? Oh, my God, Saleh's the greatest coach you've ever seen besides me.
Listen, I'm going to bring you in.
That's it. As simple as
that. I could learn a lot from your guidance.
So you think Saleh kissed Rex Ryan's ass enough?
No. I don't know.
Then what was it?
He called him up and probably started off with much ado about nothing kind of thing. You believe that this story has legs? You know, I never intended for it to get there. Oh, I got a lot of respect for you. Hey, blah, back and forth. Hey, you know Billy? Yeah, we all know Billy. They probably have some mutual friends in common. And then they started talking football, which is what these two guys do. And I think at the end of talking football, he was probably like, you know what? Unlike a lot of guys in this league that I know, this guy's a man. He's a man's man. He took my call. That means he's a real guy.
Right.
He didn't shy away from the criticism. I called him on it. Like he said to me publicly, Rex knows where to find me. So Rex found him, right? And it was like he shied away, didn't take a call message, didn't have him talk to his secretary.
Right.
They talked like men. Listen, I find in my life experience that's all it takes sometimes.
Well, apparently.
There's a lot of, like, you know, noise out there. But when it comes down to one-on-one, I know this wasn't in person, it was on the phone. That's fine with me, too. And just owning it and not being afraid of the conversation or even the conflict, you walk out of there. Like, a lot of people tell you, I'm sure you probably have friends like this, maybe not yourself, that the guys that you're closest to, that you have unbreakable bonds with, are guys that at some point earlier in your life you battled with.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that's frequent because ultimately I'm going to respect you and vice versa, or we're not, right? And I think this is a case of two tough, you know, type A guys calling each other out and then one of them saying, I ain't afraid of you, so I'll call you.
Right.
And the other guy going, I'm not afraid of you. I'll take that call.
Right.
And before you know it, you're having soft poached eggs at a local diner with avocado on toast.
So based on that, if Isaiah Stewart calls up LeBron James or vice versa, wouldn't that squash their issues?
Possibly, yes. But here's what happens. If LeBron doesn't do that or didn't do it,
he should.
Then I know people on Twitter say I pronounce this wrong. I'm not doing it on purpose. It exacerbates the situation. Right? Every minute that goes by now where LeBron doesn't reach out to Isaiah, it becomes bigger.
Yeah, but wasn't it a thing where when Roger, I hate to go back to this, but when Roger Clemens drilled Piazza in the head, that Roger did try to reach out and Mike wouldn't take his phone call?
Okay.
So sometimes it doesn't work.
It's nothing's 100%.
Right.
But the fact that he picked up the phone or maybe, you know, swung by the clubhouse after showers or whatnot to check in. We've heard those stories a lot.
Right.
Where, you know, bad hit in a game, a guy gets beamed in a game, whatever the case may be, where afterwards, guy goes into the locker room to check in out of respect. We all play the same sport here, right? Listen, I always felt, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. There was a time in my life, that time is now long since gone, unfortunately, where I thought that Mike and I could have buried the hatchet.
Mm.
That there was a moment, you know, before I got in trouble and all that, when he was still here and it was before, you know, he started the app and then he left and he came back. I thought there was a small window in there where had he and I sat down together and hashed it out, that things would have been very different relationship-wise.
Could you imagine?
I've always thought that.
A simpatico relationship
now,
between you and
Mike? It makes no sense now. It doesn't serve him now to do it, obviously, nor me. But there was a point in my life where I actually had an intermediary try to make that happen.
I remember you telling me that, yeah.
And Mike had no interest in it, which was his right not to. But I think those forces could have combined for good.
Now, if you and Mike ended up having a good relationship, would you have called him up over the weekend and said, let me give you some tips on your Twitter war with Noah Syndergaard?
It wouldn't have ended the way it ended.
Because it ended.
I can tell you that. Matter of fact, I probably would have been in Mike's crib watching games together. Jose, grab me another beer while you're in the garage. Oh, no, Julio, excuse me.
Julio! Julio was his driver, not his maid.
Whatever. I'm sure he got beer for him once in a while. No? Julio! Make it two Rolling Rocks when you're out there. My man, Pots and Pans. Yeah. That would be great. There was a point in my life where I thought that was on the
table. That would have been an amazing alternate universe.
And I actually wanted that to happen.
Yeah, why not?
I wanted that to happen. And then I took that idea, I doused it in gasoline, and I lit that bitch on fire and let it burn. Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah.
So that's what happened, though. So there was a small little teeny window because we had a common enemy on something. I'd have to actually think back.
And Mike had a common enemy.
It was this really brief moment in time where I felt like he and I had a common enemy.
Right. And that would have been the bonding moment over
that. Yeah, I thought if he and I got together on it, it would have been an undefeatable force.
Yeah.
Kind of like
Hogan and Savage coming together, right?
Like the X-Men kind of. No. Like, what was the other one? Yeah.
With Hogan and Savage, the Mega Powers.
Not that. Nah, you know. The Marvel thing, they're all together, they're all working together. One
the
goal.
Avengers?
The Avengers. The Avengers, yeah. I thought we would have been like the Avengers. Yeah.
You would have had your own theme song, too, together?
Oh, yeah, theme song's a key part of being a superhero, Evan.
Of course.
You need a theme song, and you never wear a cape.
Never.
Cape is the downfall of many superheroes. I'm just put it out there.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, Mike, I tried. I did. When I did get in trouble, I even wrote him a handwritten letter.
Did you really?
That's been out there. I've told that story before.
Oh, yeah. I must have missed that. Did he write back?
No.
Did he call you?
No, sir. No.
Huh.
No. Wanted nothing to do with me. He even said no to being in the documentary.
Huh.
You're a total jerk.
Okay, fine. Yes, you were too. Yeah, I think the documentary producers reached out to him to be a part. And he at least responds.
Can I guess what the response was?
Two words.
No chance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Those were the two words. No chance.
No chance.
But at least he responded. He was.
I could hear that in his voice, too.
No chance.
Yeah, him and Noah were going at it this weekend. Fascinating.
Well, listen. Noah got the last words, and sometimes in those battles, the last word by default wins.
Mike was right, though.
But the last word wins sometimes.
Noah got his digs in, but basically Mike said, and no one could dispute this, I don't care what you think about him, hey, I was successful for 30-plus years. What the hell have you done here?
Yeah.
And he's not wrong. What has Noah done here?
The other thing for me, Noah Syndergaard's a 28-year-old, 30-year-old, whatever he is, right? Kid who's picking a Twitter battle with a 70-year-old man who's retired.
And he did pick the battle.
Like,
he picked it.
Mike said some unkind words first.
Dude, but Craig, Mike didn't.
Mike didn't
at Noah Syndergaard. And by the way, everybody in the media has had a comment about Noah Syndergaard. He chose specifically to go after Mike Francesa.
Let me tell
you a little story about Noah Syndergaard. Joe and I were doing the midday show live from the All-Star Fan Festival. You were probably there, too, in 2014, the year that Matt Harvey made that start.
Where was that at?
That was at Citi Field.
No, where did we do the show?
2013, start? My apologies. We did it from the Jacob Javits Center.
Oh, I hated that week.
Okay. So the Mets come up to us and say, look, we have a prospect named Noah Syndergaard. I knew who he was. Joe was like, I think I know who this guy is. Let's put him on. So Noah's sitting with us on the stage, or about to put him on the air, and Noah looks at me and Joe with these puppy-eyed looks and says, are people going to hear me through this interview? I'm kind of nervous. And we had to give him a back massage. We had to say, Noah, don't you worry. It's only 50,000 watts, but it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. You're a prospect. There's nothing to kill you about.
Yeah.
He was so nervous. Now, Noah Syndergaard, big muscular, I'm going to spit fire. But he was a puppy dog not too long ago.
He grew look at Evan outing people from the past.
Yeah.
Telling stories the crypt.
Have you? You haven't? Mr. Carlos Baerga took his naked baseball bat and smashed it on the ground? I mean, come on.
That's a 30-year-old story.
So mine's a 7-8-year-old story.
Here's Ruben in Belleville. Ruben, how are you?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, I got a question for you, Craig.
Yeah,
A couple of years ago, I heard, if I remember correctly, you and Boomer had Mike and the Mad Dog on the radio. I think it was the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys were supposed to play golf.
Right.
You and the dog against Boomer and Big Mike. And I'm just, did it ever happen?
There was some talk about the four of us playing, and then there was a moment where Mark Chernoff really wanted us to try to, you know, repair the relationship with Mike. So we had Mike on our show. We went on his show.
That was at City Field, correct?
No, that was early on.
Oh, okay.
That was early on.
Gotcha.
That was, yeah, we did, when City Field was opening up, every show was there for like an hour or two, and we came on after Mike, and I did like a segment with Mike. And did the whole segment like I was Russo. So to finish the story, Chernoff wanted us to repair the bridge, blah, blah, blah. So Mike came on our show, like we went on his show, and we thought it'd be a great idea to play golf together. Great way to, you know, make amends with one another. I also told Mike I'd kill him at golf because he sucks. And I go, and I'm not very good, but I know I can beat you.
I'm sure he took that well.
Okay. He, of course, said, okay, I play all the time, okay. You can't beat me, kid. I don't know where you even get your sticks from, but okay. I play at Pebble Beach, okay. Me and Nance are on the 8th hole. He's got a house there. I have pina coladas. I play golf. Okay. And on and on, right?
Right.
So we sent him like 5 dates because we were ready to play.
Sure.
And between Boomer and Mike, there's really not a course long on we can't get on, all right? And he ducked us. Or me, or whatever the case may be. So we had plans. We all confirmed we would do it. And back in those days, I was gambling. So there's no doubt it would have been a big money game. Because Mike, you know, likes to play a little bit as well, sure, as I understand. And it never happened.
Do you think he
didn't play? I have no time for fools today.
I would have kicked your ass in golf, Francesca. You know that.
Do you think it was because he was afraid?
Yes.
Or do you think it's because he just didn't like you?
No. Afraid's not the right word.
Of losing. He doesn't want to lose and have you brag about it for 4 hours.
Let me walk through golf real quick if I can.
Sure.
Like, and I've never claimed to be good at golf. I'm not. But for 6 holes, I can beat anybody. My problem is that it's an 18-hole event.
You get bored.
I'm so bored, Evan. It's like I don't even want to sit in the cart for the next 12 holes. So for 6 holes, 4 to 6 holes, I can hold my own. Boomer will tell you the same thing. Against legitimate scratch golfers, I can do it. And then I suck.
Right.
Suck like the Beningo suck, right?
What does that mean? He's had 2 hole-in-ones,
no,
bro.
Joe's the worst golfer I've ever seen in my own two eyes.
Not fair. You haven't seen John Jastrzemski.
Fair enough, okay? So
I don't even know if he's bad.
So I know I'm going to beat Mike because I've seen Mike swing the club. It ain't good.
So you think he ducked him or he doesn't like you?
There was no.
Because he also didn't like you.
But if I played Fred back in the day, where I was playing golf once or twice a week, and I wasn't good. But if I play him and I beat him, which I would have, and even worse, take money from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does he ever live that down?
Well, especially because you're going to talk about it on the air.
That's the first thing I'm doing.
That's a 4-hour show right there.
2 shows.
2 shows.
So my guts, that's why. That's why. Yeah. So we never played.
Hmm.
So
I'm going to try to set that up. Would you do it? If I could pull this off?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go out there. My back's killing me. I'm older now.
I got no shot to pull that off. I can't even get him to come on the air.
I'm not sure that I'll ever play golf ever again.
You don't?
I have no interest.
You're not missing much. It's boring.
I get invited all the time still to play golf. Play here, play there, ba-bing, ba-boom. And I used to play, like I said, once or twice a week during the summer. I don't miss it at all, dude. None. Zero. I really don't miss it one little bit. You know what I miss? I miss the Giants winning football games. I miss the Jets winning football games. I miss seeing competent offenses on Sundays or Thursday and Monday nights. I miss seeing the sport that I watch the Green Bay Packers play, that at times I watch, I don't know, the Vikings or the Chiefs play, or the Steelers even yesterday, or the Chargers or Rams. I miss watching professional football. Justin's in Dobbs Ferry. He misses it too. What's up, Justin?
What's up, Craigie? I mean, going into this game last night, we have all, you know, we have the game plan from Trevor Siemian and Tyler Heineke to how to beat the Bucs, but Brady hasn't lost three games in a row since like 2000.
Yeah, no, but here's the deal. When? To me, it's not about the Giants beating, it's not about the game plan that the Saints had or anyone else to beat Tampa. Tampa beat themselves. So the question is, if Tampa does better on third downs defensively, or offensively rather, if Tampa doesn't turn the ball over, if Tampa doesn't commit stupid penalties, my question to you is, how do the Giants beat them if they don't have self-inflicted wounds?
You see how everybody else scored 40 points this week. Giants and Garrett have to pull out every stop here. This is Garrett's like life right now. The Giants, they don't score four touchdowns and like put a little effort into this game. You know, you got.
Well, they're going to put effort. I'll go to Evan on this to help you out, Evan. If it's not self-inflicted on Tampa side, which has been their bugaboo the last couple of weeks, how do the Giants beat them?
He was trying to say it, and he didn't spit it out. It's very simple. They got to score points. This Buccaneer defense is not that good. Their secondary is banged up. And so the New York Giants, who have been putrid in the red zone this year, have to score points.
Not 17.
When they march down the field and they have a sustained drive and they've got first and goal from the 9, they can't settle for 3. They've got to score 7, and they're capable of it. So I get what you're saying about Tampa's self-inflicted issues, but right now, with the Giants getting healthier on offense, and I don't know if Andrew Thomas is official, but here's what I do know. The Giants had until 4 o'clock today, it's now 4:05, to activate him from IR. Andrew Thomas being activated is a big freaking deal.
Sure.
He's the left tackle. He's played at an all-pro level this year. To go along with more weapons that Daniel Jones has, they got to score.
Plus, if you've watched Tampa play this year, and I think about the New England game, I think it was that Sunday night game they played or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know, Tampa won the game. New England missed that 50-plus yard field goal in the rain, remember?
Yeah.
Chance to beat them.
19-17.
If you go back, I look at that game particularly because Tampa won it. Whereas it's easy to look at the games they lost. And what did New England do to have a chance to win that game? Because it wasn't a high-octane scoring game, as you just said, the score of it. And I recognized it was a torrential downpour,
right,
which played a part of that. But rookie Mac Jones, was good enough for them to have a chance to take a kick to win the game, right? So how did they stop the Tampa offense? And they stopped it by getting pressure on Brady, which has always been
the
bugaboo.
And the Giants have been able to do that over the years.
Right.
And look, this Buccaneer defense, they've given up 65 points over the last 2 weeks. And think about who they've given up those points to. The New Orleans Saints and the Washington football team. You're not exactly confusing either team with a juggernaut offensively. So it's simple. It's simple. This is the time. This is the time for this Giant offense, which has a lot of weapons when they're healthy, and this quarterback, which has shown the potential and the flashes to go out and put up 30, 35 points. They haven't done it in a million weeks. I understand it. That's how they win this football game. And quite frankly, based on watching the Buccaneer defense and the injuries they're dealing with, I haven't seen the latest on Vita Vea, but we know how important he is to that defensive line. They're capable of it. That's how they win this football game.
Yeah, so the New York Giants this year, I just want to see their highest output offensively.
29. Yeah, the game they lost 30-29.
Which is September 16th.
Well, since then, their biggest offensive output was probably the Saint game in overtime when they put up 27 coming back.
Carolina.
No, the Saint game, they scored 27 in that game. How many scored in the Carolina game? 23-3 or whatever it was?
25-3. So, yeah. I mean, they haven't scored 30.
And look, when you look at the talent on this roster, now that they are healthy, I know Sterling Shepard's still out, but Kenny Golladay another week, Saquon Barkley, it looks like Andrew Thomas. They're capable of it. And we sat here all offseason when they made the moves they made and said, boy, this is going to be a good offense. Well, now is the time. And look, the reason they haven't fulfilled that potential, besides injuries, which is obvious, is their failures in the red zone. They are the worst red zone offense in the NFL. Period. That's got to stop. When you march down the field, take advantage of your opportunities. And if they do that, I think they could win this football game.
It's so, crazy this year more than any other. Hey, what's up, SNY? Thank you to Grubhub for that. It's really so crazy when you look AFC versus NFC. We're in the AFC. There's only four teams that are under 500. Mm-hmm. Four of them. You've got the Dolphins and the Jets, and then you've got Houston and Jacksonville.
Right.
Everybody else is 500 or better. Everyone. Then you go to the NFC, and it's like the exact opposite, you know?
Well, right now, and I think this is sort of crazy, obviously you've got three wild card teams coming out of each conference now. Your four division winners and your three wild card teams. Two of the three wild card teams are 5-5.
Yep.
Two of the wild card teams are 500 football teams. That's why when you try to guess, all right, what's that win total going to be to make the postseason? Obviously, you can't finish 500 unless you have a tie now with the 17 games. But 9-8 probably gets you in.
It's getting somebody in.
Yeah.
It may not get you in, but it gets someone's getting in at 9-8, which is why just watching football yesterday, the Eagles winning wasn't good for you.
The Vikings winning.
The Vikings winning. All those teams that you're going to be going up against, didn't do you any favors.
Washington winning wasn't a big deal because remember they're playing Carolina, who's also in the mix. The problem was Minnesota. That was the big problem. Minnesota pulling off that victory was an issue. Not that you're surprised, but the Niners doing it because the Niners play Minnesota next week, so somebody's going to be 6-5.
Yep. The Saints losing their third in a row, go to 5-5. Like, it's as much as we mocked the Giants last year for at 6-10, waiting for that Washington Philly game to be played to get you into the playoffs. You're going to be in a similar boat this year. You are.
Yeah, but if you win your games,
you're in.
You play the Eagles twice. So as good as Philadelphia's, look, go beat them. You get two cracks at them.
The New York Giants for the last 7 weeks, 6 weeks of this year are going to be very much like the New York Yankees were this past year. Win it in. That's it.
Except if they lose the next three, then they're dead.
Well, if you lose the next three, forget about it.
They got to win these football games.
Yeah, but the point is, like, you've played like crap. You've given away games that you should have won. And here you are Thanksgiving week. And it is legitimately totally under your control. You win, you're in.
And let's not forget, one thing they've done very quietly over the last 3 weeks is their defense has played a hell of a lot better. They got off to that abysmal start. They lost key guys on defense, specifically Blake Martinez. And one thing that is going to affect them big time, and I apologize for not bringing it up yet, is Logan Ryan not being active. Because one thing about Logan Ryan, say what you want about his year this year, the guy basically plays 95% of the snaps. And so you saw the impact of losing Blake Martinez, a leader on defense. Logan Ryan not being there, and he's in COVID protocol because he tested positive for COVID, so hopefully he's okay. That's a major blow to a defense that over the last 3 weeks has played really well against some decent offenses, including Kansas City. So that's a huge blow going into tonight that shouldn't be underrated.
Your call's coming up as we move closer to Giants-Bucks. We keep an eye on, obviously, the Jet news as it is official now. Wednesday morning, Robert Saleh will announce who the starting quarterback is against the Houston Texans. And outside of that, the Jets are essentially dead. No, there's nothing else to talk about Jet-wise other than just how pissed off they make us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
That's the phone number to call. Giants Bucks tonight. Guys, will give you a pick on that game a little bit later on. And, of course, the fallout from another Jet loss yesterday. Now, side note NBA-wise, Shams is reporting that LeBron James tried to apologize to Isaiah Stewart after the game. But here's the forgiveness of that. All right?
What?
I'm told LeBron James did try to track down Isaiah Stewart's number post-game to apologize to him and let him know that it was inadvertent. You're in the same building.
No, you come on.
You want to track a guy down, go find your balls, walk down the corridor, knock on the Pistons locker room door, and ask to have a word.
Yeah, but wait a second. If you do that, which I understand man to man.
Was LeBron afraid?
No, no. And then
was LeBron afraid that he might get punched in the face?
It's not that. If Isaiah Stewart says, go bleep yourself, and decks LeBron, LeBron's got to fight back.
By the way,
and if he bites back, now he can risk injury and be suspended the next 2 months.
Maybe LeBron doesn't know how to fight.
Come on.
Maybe LeBron is afraid of the knuckles of another man.
Listen, man.
By the way,
there's
going to be so many other people there.
I get
there's no way they're going to get out
of it. I'm not a LeBron James fan, sycophant, defender. Yeah. But sometimes you guys, and you're one of them, look for every reason to kill him.
Maybe LeBron, he doesn't like
you
to fight.
You look for every reason to crush the guy. You know the other thing LeBron had encountered?
This is an easy one. I'd have to, it's just no stretch.
No, there was another good one, and this is where I will not be on the side of LeBron. So Enes Kanter has been very outspoken at LeBron James.
Well, for background sake,
yeah,
people that don't know Enes Kanter. Enes Kanter was from Turkey, and because of the government there and his comments against this dictatorship regime in Turkey, he is on a very short list of former Turkish residents where if he steps foot on Turkish property or land, he's shot on sight.
Right.
Like there's a legitimate death. What's the word I'm looking for? Hit on him.
Yeah.
So this guy.
There's a bounty on his head.
There is a legitimate bounty on Enes Kanter's head. So he is very involved in kind of worldly politics and views.
Yeah. So he has been very critical of LeBron about his handling of China, how he still obviously has business relationships in China. So Enes Kanter's publicly criticized him. And then over the weekend, I think it was Friday night, the Lakers played the Celtics, and Enes Kanter wore sneakers that said, hey, and then there's a crown of LeBron. Are you still researching and getting educated? So his sneakers were calling out the king. And then there's a picture of LeBron James bending his knee for China.
Yes.
Okay, great. So LeBron was asked about it, and his answer, I thought, left a lot to be desired. He said, I'm not going to let him use me to create a name for himself.
Guy doesn't need you. Like,
I got a great idea.
The guy's got a hit on him. Like, there's a bounty on the man's head.
I'm not going to give him my energy. How about this one, LeBron? Answer his criticisms.
Yeah, well, you can't.
Like, okay, well, that's a problem. Answer them. Because this isn't, in all fairness, LeBron, this is not some political person looking for points. This isn't Ted Cruz asking you. This is Enes Kanter, who would be killed if he went back to where he's from.
Right.
Okay? This isn't somebody looking for cheap political points, in my humble opinion. This is a concerned citizen of the world. Why don't you just answer his criticisms?
Yeah,
fair?
Listen.
Fair?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, like, Michael Jordan doesn't get asked about it anymore either. You're talking about, obviously, China being what it is, and obviously, the sweatshops in which these sneakers are made in, and you have a chance to enact change by not doing business with companies that have, slave labor, essentially, in foreign nations, not to mention the way they treat their average citizens and all the things, the atrocities that go on there. Fair, yes. Unfair because LeBron James, like many before him and after him, they promote a sneaker. They don't care so much where that sneaker's made.
But LeBron does have views on the world and our country, which I respect, and I think he has a right to talk about. So I think it's definitely fair that Enes Kanter brought it up, and I thought he ducked him.
Yes,
and I thought
remember,
he ducked him in a very light way by saying he's using my name to become famous. Is that really what Enes Kanter's going for?
I don't believe so. But we have to remember, most people get bothered by things because it impacts them, right? And when things don't negatively impact them, they're not there. They're not standing on that same pulpit. I mean, you see it all the time. You see it, unfortunately, a lot of the unrest that's happened in our country the last couple of years. It's kind of pick and choose your poison. What bothers you versus what suddenly doesn't bother you,
right? I understand.
So I think there's a lot of that going on here as well. But yeah, listen, I have great respect for Enes Kanter because he's one of the few guys that legitimately put his money where his mouth is. Like, he walks around. How does he know that Turkey dictator hasn't sent the hit squad out to get him? He's got to be the most prominent anti-government guy in the world, right?
He also, to a similar extent but not as serious, also puts his NBA livelihood on the line.
Sure.
Because he is outwardly questioning not only the NBA's relationship but their biggest star's relationship with the communist Chinese government.
Yeah.
And very easily, as a bit player, because Kanter's become that, the NBA could say, why are we signing this guy? Why are we dealing with
this? He's not worth the hassle. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I respect Kanter a lot. I think, and I'd be the first guy to attack LeBron. You know, LeBron James is not going to, you know, cure China of communism.
No one's suggesting that, but I think it's fair right? to at least answer those criticisms. Because,
yeah.
again, it's not coming from some politician looking to, you know, get some points off
and
of you.
By the
it's
way,
coming from a fellow NBA player who's kind of lived with some issues that have gone
listen,
on in the world.
I'll tell you what. If you can find a way to make sneakers in this country that kids want to buy for pennies on the dollar, as compared to what it costs our manufacturers to make them for, sign me up, right?
Yeah.
It's like the old Starberries,
yeah.
right?
yes.
Right? He was genius. I'm going to sell sneakers for $50 a pair and, you know, sell out of them. But as soon as you find an American plant that can make Jordans or LeBrons or KDs or Kyries or pick your favorite player that's got a sneaker, right? As soon as you can make that sneaker and make it for 10 cents as opposed to $1.50 and have kids want to buy them, you'll be the biggest sneaker magnet in the world.
I understand.
We just haven't figured out how to do that yet. Oh, that's also because we're not communists who force people well, into pennies right. an hour slave labor. Right?
Yes.
That's all. That's all it is. Chris is in East Mauritius. Chrissy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Craigie, New Row 1991, first of all.
Bring the noise, New Rochelle Huguenot.
There you go. Hey, listen, I've been listening to you guys for a couple of weeks now. I mean, I've been listening from the beginning, but this notion of that the Giants are going to make the playoffs is just ridiculous.
I agree. I agree. It's the stuff of drugs.
Yeah, I know Evan started it, but it's just ridiculous.
You know what, Chris? Here's why.
That the Giants should be beating these teams that are ahead of them. What makes you think that Washington or Philly or Minnesota looks at them and say, we can beat the Giants?
Of course they do, and they should. This is one of those situations where Giant fans can look at Philly and Washington and say to themselves, that's a game we can win. Washington and Philly, I'm sure, looks at the Giant game and says, hey, that's a game we can win.
I'll tell you why. I'll answer your question. First of all, seven teams are making the playoffs in the NFC, whether you like it, I like it, or not. Seven teams are going to make
it. I like it, by the way.
No, that's fine.
And if you're a Giant fan, you love it.
And the teams right now that occupy playoff spots.
Real quick, Evan, I apologize. It is official. The Giants have activated Andrew Thomas.
Beautiful.
For tonight's game. You're starting Pro Bowl level left tackle is back.
Big, big addition. So, someone's making the playoffs. Do the New Orleans Saints look like a playoff team to you right now?
No.
Do the Minnesota Vikings, to the Niners?
Maybe.
They're all flawed. Now, as far as the Giants are concerned specifically, the reason why they look like a team that certainly should be discussed in this mix of teams that will vie for one of these two playoff spots is that look at them over the last 3 weeks. Look how competitive they've been. Yeah, they're a flawed team, but so is everybody battling for these final spots. Now, I'm not telling you they're definitely better than Philadelphia or they're definitely better than Washington or Minnesota, but talent-wise, you don't think they're kind of in that same bowl?
Well,
that same grouping of flawed NFL
but
teams?
They have a problem in that going into tonight's game, they're two games behind everybody, pretty much. And if you assume, listen, they're double-digit underdogs tonight, so there's a huge expectation that they are going to lose the game. And that's not speaking down towards the Giants. That's a reality.
No, the reality is they're likely to be two games back. I get that. But we also saw this team, a similar team, make their late push in the second half of last year.
The question is, if you listen, hopefully they win tonight, right? If they lose tonight and they drop to 3-7,
mm-hmm.
the question then becomes, if you are a diehard New York Giant fan and you have to be reasonable about it, Where do the wins come from?
They have to win basically every game, but maybe you want to hand them the Charger loss or the Dallas loss. And I know that's asking a lot. They have to win every time. They got to sweep the Eagles. They got to beat Miami. They got to win one of the Charger-Cowboy games. They got to beat the Bears. They got to beat Washington. I get it's asking a lot, but they have also looked like a much more competent football team over the last 3 weeks. Which have they not?
Yeah, competent, yes. Which is why tonight's game is so pivotal. You know Tampa can be beaten. You assume they're not going to be, but you know they can be. If you win tonight's game, it changes the entire dynamic of the final 7 weeks. Because if you lose tonight, by rule, you have to go 6-1.
Yeah.
If you don't go 6-1, you ain't making the playoffs.
And that's
not.
And that's asking a lot. I totally acknowledge that.
Because the other teams go 500, they beat you.
But I think part of why they're in this discussion is because of what it's probably going to take to make the postseason. It's not going to take that much from a win standpoint. The Vikings are a flawed team. I give them credit. I'm stunned that they were able to pull that game out. They're a team that always finds a way to lose. You trust Jimmy Garoppolo with San Francisco?
No.
And they're in a tough division. Like, that's the point. Like,
but
I get it. The Giants are flawed, but the bucket of teams battling for playoff spots, they're all flawed.
But remember, if the Giants lose tonight, San Francisco's got two games on them. New Orleans has two games on them. Carolina, game and a half. They're 5-6.
No, Craig.
Minnesota's got two on them.
Where you're right, and no one could dispute this, is if you lose tonight, you're putting yourself in a spot where
you gotta
at
go
minimum,
6-1.
You got to win 6 out of 7.
Yeah.
Now, and of course, it's asking a lot.
And here's the question. As much as they have improved, or they appear to have improved, you could be the biggest, most, you know, ass-kissing, suck-up Giant fan in the world, you can't say with any confidence, I think they're going to go 6-1. And that's the rub here. Because if you lose tonight, and let's say you go 4-3, okay,
not
great.
Enough.
You're 7-10.
Not enough.
You're not getting in. And then the rhetoric actually gets interesting to me. Because then the rhetoric is, well, we played an extra game, but we won an extra game.
Yeah.
Can you count that as progress?
Well,
I say no, sir.
The problem is, it's very similar to last year. The Giants got off to a brutal start last year.
0-5, right?
They finished the season incredibly strong. But at some point, you can't use the same tired excuse of, well, they got off to a bad start and they finished strong. Like, at some point, you got to win. At some point, you need to win enough. So, no, I don't think Giant fans would be pleased with a 7-10 year. No.
You'd be surprised. Giant fans have gotten a little soft over the – I think COVID softened them up.
No, losing softened them up.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Losing year after year after year softened them up.
I think you talk to a Giant fan right now, because I remember last year, 6-10, we're going to the playoffs. Great job, Joe Judge. Competency is back.
Hold on. Let's say, hypothetically, the Giants finish 8-9.
So they're losing tonight and go 5-2 in the final 7. Is that where we're at?
Yes, they go 8-9.
All right, so they end the season winning 5 out of 7.
And they're under 500. Yeah. And let's say that's good enough to make the playoffs.
Great.
Which it could be.
Then I say great.
Okay. Is it?
Yes.
You're the one who's talking about, ooh, made the playoffs at 6-10. Who cares how you make the playoffs?
Well, 6-10 was a joke.
What makes that a joke, but 8-9 you're okay
8-9 is reasonable. Hey, yeah, we're 500.
Is it? It's under 500.
Well, you can't be 500 this year.
Yeah, you can be if you tie a game.
Yes. Hi, Detroit. No, I think if they're 8, here's what, 8-9, you know, there's an old Shakespearean phrase that goes like this, Evan. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Got that? You understand that conceptually?
Right.
So the choice, look at this. You make the playoffs, it doesn't matter what your record is.
Of course it doesn't matter.
Because the sweet smell, the nectar of playoff appearances is all that matters.
Exactly.
But there's a flip side to that.
What's that?
Being under 500 stinks just as much.
Yeah.
Look, I'm a positive guy.
Are you?
I'm a glass 3/4 full guy. That's how I am. I take a sip, and I still got a glass that's half full.
That's
okay?
A good way to look at
That's right.
All right.
So to me, getting into the playoffs is the rose. I don't care how I got there. I got there.
That's what I've always told you. It doesn't matter what your record is.
What I thought was pathetic last year was the legendary Giant fan base. You know the one we heard of growing up?
Yeah.
The 20-year waiting list for season tickets. The great legendary Frank Gifford stories. The great shot of a beaten former Philadelphia Eagle player, bald and bruised and bloodied after the big hit at the one-yard line.
Yeah, that was completely
the
wrong.
The Lawrence Taylor.
I mean, I'm sorry.
The Phil Sims.
Do you want me to correct you?
You know what we're talking. The Four Horsemen. The Thunder and Lightning backfield.
Let him go. He's on a roll.
The Ahmad Bradshaw game against the... We know what we're talking about here.
Oh, wow.
The you is don't. That Mark Bavaro or is that Rambo 9? You know what I'm talking about. The team that made Phil Sims look like he was good at quarterbacking. We know who we're talking about. Geez. And that team is now in a situation where we're really happy to be at 6-10 because we might get in.
But because
and
Craig,
I respect it because it's called fandom.
No, it's...
You've been beaten down by 5 consecutive years of the worst football in the NFL. You've been beaten down by only 10 home wins in more than half a decade. And what do? Do you complain about it? You bet your ass you do. Do you stop giving them your money? No, you don't. And what do you ask for in return? Allow us, as Giant fans, to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday with a team that still has a prayer. And tonight, my friends, the New York Giants can do just that. They can, for the second year in a row, save Thanksgiving.
That was the oddest rant ever. It started with you bashing Giant fans and bashing them begging the Eagles for help and then morphed into an inspirational, like I'm the president on the 4th of July. We save Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to bash the Giant fans.
I love Giant fans. Those are my peeps right there.
Right?
Yeah, me, Giant fans are like... oil and eggs. We get along good. Yeah, we're like peas and carrots. We're like sausage and meatballs. We like getting people pregnant. That's what we are. Wouldn't you say, Big Mac? Aren't I beloved by your people?
Oh, beloved.
Yeah. Beloved. That's right. We don't do enough Giant talk on this radio station. In my opinion, it's always Jets and Mets. It's enough. It's enough. Frankly, I'm offended by it. So offended.
Then why do you continue to allow it to happen?
Why don't you make the changes?
Yeah, why don't you do something about
it? You're in a unique position to change.
I'm the only guy here that talks Yankees and Giants.
Yeah.
Everyone else is kissing the Jets' ass, talking Jets,
kissing
talking
the
Mets.
Jets' ass, okay.
Yeah, Uncle Stevie. Oh, yeah. it's all good, man. I'm going to sit here like the fatso I am, and I'm going to eat these chocolate chips out of this cake.
No, no, eat the cake, dude.
No, I can't eat the cake.
It's so good, though.
Oh, don't I thought it was a cookie, Evan.
It's a cookie cake. It doesn't matter what it is. It's amazing.
Cake. You said
and
cake.
By the way, don't defile the cookie cake.
Oh, yeah.
Either eat it or hand it to me
and I'll
eat it.
I can't eat it. I got to eat the chips out of it.
Yeah, but you're taking
the
chips.
I got 7 pounds to go.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're defiling Lou Gower's mom's cookie.
Thank God you said cookie.
Yes.
What did I say?
Yeah. Although some people refer to it as a cookie.
You just hand me a...
some you people
hand,
do.
You hand me
you
a bowl.
You want to taste my cookie?
Why'd you hand me a bowl?
Oh. That was questionable.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. This is the greatest pumpkin chocolate chip cookie I've ever had
it's
in my entire life.
The only pumpkin chocolate chip cookie you ever had.
That's
because no one makes pumpkin chocolate
well,
chip cookies.
Well, maybe we.
It's stupid.
Well, maybe we should. Maybe Mrs.
No offense.
Lou Gower should start a trend. The pumpkin chocolate chip cookie. I love it.
Must have had some leftover pumpkin or something. Didn't know what to do with it.
Why did she go pumpkin? Is there a reason?
Because it's the holiday season of pumpkins.
That's
no, I
not,
love it.
That's not true. She made them specifically for Evan.
Oh,
she goes, I know Evan really likes pumpkin. I'm going to make these for Evan.
Okay.
I go, you got to make Craig happy, too. She's like, all right, I'll throw some chocolate chips in there. That's how that happened.
Well, I respect that. After all, I did buy her a gift. Evan didn't.
Very true.
She's been... What did I get her?
The air fryer from Christmas.
She's
last
been
year.
Air frying food for a year.
Wings and everything. Yeah.
Wasn't the air fryer for the Loogie?
Yeah, but he gave it to his mom.
I already had an air fryer.
Okay, so when I gave you a gift last year, you could have given that to your mom. Could you not have?
You have to say moms.
Your moms. You could have just given it to your moms. Basically, Loogie's mom, if you're listening, your son's a selfish bastard.
Moms. It's moms.
Moms.
Yeah.
Loogie's moms if you're listening, your son's a selfish bastard.
There you go.
That's not true. He gave her mom the air fryer.
Yeah.
Yeah, how can you say that?
What about the gift I gave him?
What'd you give him?
You're like a shock jock now. You don't tip anybody.
I tip everybody when they give me a service. When they don't give me a service, don't go begging for a tip.
Yeah. I love Giannotti getting on you. Like, Giannotti's got, you know, new money, and all of a sudden he's like the tip master, right? Right? I remember Donald Trump said that to me once.
That's what Donald Trump said to you.
I challenged Trump to play golf.
How'd that go?
And he goes, oh, I love taking money from guys who just started making it.
That's a good line.
Yeah, that is a good line. He goes, there's nothing like taking money from new money people. I'm like, you're right. I never made any money before, but I'm making it now. Let's play some golf. And I know you cheat.
Did you ever play him?
We never played, no.
He's a big talker.
No, he's actually a very good golfer. But he also uses the foot wedge, which is a little forgiving.
So you would have called him out on that?
Yeah,
and said,
because
nope.
If you're golfing for money, which back in the day I did, you can't cheat.
Yeah, but is it cheating if you're open about it?
No,
if
yes,
you're admitting
yes.
I'm using this.
You can't use a foot wedge.
Really?
Dude, if I was betting a lot of money back in the day. If there's $10,000 riding on the outcome of a hole, let's say, and I see you off the side of the fairway, you know, pulling the Judge Smales and kicking the ball into the fairway for a better lie for an easier shot, game over.
Yeah, but don't you have to discuss the ground rules before you play?
Yeah, ground rule one, no cheating.
Well, no, you're calling it cheating, but if you're both doing it, it's not cheating.
You can't kick the ball.
You can't kick it.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean the kicking the ball. I know that. I meant the
There are certain things you can discuss.
The wedge thing.
The wedge thing.
A foot wedge
the
is your foot.
Wedge.
That's your foot.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yes.
I thought it was a
piece The foot
piece
wedge
of
is your actual foot.
I thought it was a piece of equipment. No. You put your foot next to it. Shows you what I know about golf.
Yeah. The kick wedge. Is that better?
You're right. That is cheating.
Yeah, it's cheating. And Trump has a reputation for using the foot wedge.
Interesting.
I know guys who've caddied
for. How do you know that?
Because guys.
Oh, the caddies told you?
Like, I used to have my foundation's tournament at Trump National Briarcliff Manor. I've played a lot of his courses, so I know the guys there. All good blue-collar guys working. And whenever I go out there to play, they'd be like, oh, Trump, you should have seen him. He took a birdie on the 17th. He kicked the ball four times.
That's funny.
And what's messed up is that he's apparently a very good golfer.
Right, so he doesn't even need to
do that.
But
what's crazy is that at every course he's at, he's somehow the club champion. Right? And I'm like, he can't be the club champion at every course. They're like, listen, if you're allowed to kick the ball, you can be the club champion. And nobody calls him on it.
That's his club.
So I challenged him to play, figuring, you know, you put money on the line, and he's not allowed to kick the ball.
Well, what if he did, though?
I have a shot.
But what are you going to do about it
if he does?
That's
a penalty. You're out.
And what if he says, no, it's not. It's my course, you moron.
I give him the card, and I'm gone.
No, that'll go well.
Yeah, Mr. President, I'm sorry. This match is
he
over.
He wasn't playing with you when he was president.
No, he was not. That's true.
That wasn't happening.
No. Don, what are we doing here? You got more money than Moses, allegedly. Like, I need the 10 G's.
Right.
We can't play this way.
You know what he said to me? Because Joe and I had him on once, like 2011. He said right after the interview was done, I got to tell you, I listen to you and Joe every day. I love the show. And I thought to myself, he is so full of crap.
Someone told him, right?
I appreciate that he said that. Like, it made me feel good. But I remember I went home. I called my dad. I said, Dad, you're not going to believe it. You know that billionaire Donald Trump? He's like, yeah.
We can get him on the show.
He listens all the time.
You want him on the show?
Right now?
Not today. But if you want him on, we can put him on.
We can't put him on. We'd have to do a hard-hitting interview. He's a former president. There's a lot of issues at hand.
Yeah, well, that's the only way to do
it. He's not going to go for that.
No?
Nah, he goes on Hannity. He's not going to go on with us.
Fair point. 877-337. Maybe go on for middays.
What's your next joke?
May I call you Mr. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
I hope there's no hard feelings. I just joking around, having a good time. But just on the heels of Cohen, I thought I was apropos, that's all. I leave it alone, all right? We all get along good here. Let's keep it that way. No? By the way, congratulations to Odell Beckham. He is indeed not a virgin.
Was there a moment where you thought he was?
I thought maybe he had some Tebow in him. I don't know.
You thought so?
Odell Beckham's girlfriend, Lauren Wood, announced that she is pregnant with their first child.
Congratulations.
So a little ODBJ. There you go.
I love, now that you mentioned you're a lover, Tim Tebow, I thought that commercial, the Heisman House commercial.
Brilliant.
With the last curve. One? Yeah, like Tebow can't hit the curve.
Yeah,
he can't handle the curve because he was driving and there was a curve. And Tim's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And what added to the humor is that the guy sitting with him was Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Who also
played baseball. Yeah, they
very
did that
well
one
done.
Very well.
Yes.
Yeah. And at the end, Tebow goes, not that curve. Or, well, I forget the exact line, but it was very funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
What was that about?
Was there something, you have something against the Tebow
I just
commercial?
Thought it was a terrible commercial. I'm surprised you guys felt that way.
I thought it was actually pretty clever.
I thought it was terrible.
I am not a fan of Tim Tebow, as I pointed out. I thought it was hilarious.
It was obvious and stupid, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Sorry.
God forbid there's a double entendre.
No, I mean, I'm just surprised you guys found it that funny.
Because
it was funny.
I have to give him credit. He's making fun of himself, which is a great quality.
I guess.
And I thought it was a good play on the curve. See, the car drives itself on curves. You didn't maybe get that.
I thought it was
a brilliant
commercial.
I got it. Yeah, no, the curve. Very clever.
Why do you have no sense of humor?
I have a sense of humor.
No.
No, I just, there's a level to meet my sense of humor. That fell short.
Fair enough. Hey, listen, fair enough. Who do you think is funny?
Oh, a lot of people. A lot of things.
Yeah, that doesn't answer.
Who do I think is funny?
Yeah, who would you spend $50 to go make you laugh? I know exactly who he's going to say to.
Who?
He's going to say Sebastian. Scalco.
No, I would pay $50 to see Sebastian Maniscalco.
See,
sure.
You. There you go.
Not my favorite guy.
He's going to be at UBS December 30th. You want to go?
Sure.
All right.
How are you going to get in? You can't get into UBS Arena. The arena's surrounded by a fort.
You better leave now. Give me a couple weeks to get there. Is that funny?
That's funny.
That made you laugh?
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. There you go.
Hey. Can I see something real quick? This is personal.
I'm like pulling my all pants down. Where can you see something?
Craig has a lot of sheets in front of him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't forget stuff. I'm just curious. I really need to know, because we got 2 hours left in the show, if there's something specific on your sheet.
Good.
Because I want to get through this day in a good mood. So I just want to see.
Good.
Because Loogie missed it, and I'm glad. I'm just curious.
Yes. What's the question?
We're not celebrating any anniversaries today.
Yes, we are. About 5:30. We are celebrating anniversary
today. No!
Because
I really thought I was.
Butt fumble day. 9 years ago, a friend of mine asked me to say these dope ass rhymes. It's butt fumble day. Today is butt fumble day.
I thought I really did. I was so naive. I see Loogie's show sheet. I saw it in your eyes. You never made any reference to it. I was like, we're going to get through today without a reference to what today's anniversary
is. Butt fumble day. Now, here's the problem. Loogie gets fired for not putting it on the list because he's completely caught off guard that today is the 9th anniversary of the infamous butt fumble. We'll play the audio for you coming up later today.
Do we have to?
Giant fans, your calls coming up in a second as well as we get ready for Giants Tampa.
Oh, did he bang that one?
Yes, he did. And now Lauren Wood is pregnant. There is a story we have to tell you. There's this crazy situation took place when we got off the air on Friday, involving a former New York Yankee and a member of the media. We'll tell you that story right after this. We'll get all your calls. We'll get you ready for Giants pregame exclusively on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.